This section on the Haggadah that we have been discussing about the terrible decree to destroy the sons of the Jewish people ends with a line which seems to be tangentially related but really superfluous. After we mention the decree of HaBen HaYelod HaYoret HaShlichuhu, of throwing the sons into the Nile, then we conclude at the end of the Pasuk, V'chol HaBas T'chayun, and all of the daughters were allowed to live. So what is this adding? And more than that, one can ask, why? Why was Habas Techayun? Why did Paro wanted to prevent Moshe Anshei Yisrael? They wanted to prevent Moshe Rabbeinu from being born, from being able to live and to grow up, and to grow into the leader and eventually the savior of Klal Yisrael. And we have, you know, the incredible irony that he sought with this decree to destroy the savior of Klal Yisrael. Meanwhile, that savior ended up growing up in his own home, which is just amazing. But why was Paro, so we understand why Paro destroyed the sons, but why was he particular to allow the daughters to live? Why wouldn't he just get rid of all of them? So one answer given, the Ben Ish Chai actually says, that Paro understood the nature of the Jewish people, what makes them tick. He understood what was important to them. And he understood that one of the things that is vitally important that actually kept them going was the possibility of passing on the tradition to the next generation. So if he destroyed both the sons and the daughters and there was no next generation, then he knew that he would lose control over them because they would have no reason to keep going. So he understood how devoted the Jewish people are to the next generation, and therefore he had no choice but to allow them to continue to procreate and to lead to the next generation, although he tried to limit it to just daughters and not sons. But the fact that we have this dedication to the next generation was fulfilled through Habas Techayun, through having the daughters live. So that's a note and an encouraging perspective on our dedication, that even our worst enemies recognize what we're all about, that we're about tradition, we're about the next generation, we're about passing on our messages and our faith. That's one thing we can learn from that line of the Haggadah. Let's take the next section here, where we refer to V'es Lachatzenu. That's our pressure, or our Lachatz means a pressure or a stress, oppression. Zeh hadachak, that is the pressing, the pressure. K'moshen Neymar, as it says in the pasuk, V'gamri says halachatz Hashem Mitzrayim lochatzim asam. And I have also seen that lachatz, that pressure that the Egyptians were using to oppress them. So this is like, it's almost like a palindrome, it starts with lachatz and ends with lachatz, and there's dachak in the middle. But more than that, it's very hard to understand. This is like when you look up a word in the dictionary, and the dictionary gives you that very word as the definition that you seek. So if you want to look up, like, what a voice recorder is, the device that I'm using now, you would look it up in a silly dictionary, and it would say, a voice recorder is a device that is used for recording. So we're trying to figure out what a recorder is. Telling me that it's used for recording doesn't help, because that's the word that I don't know. So we're referring to the word lachatzenu, and we're defining it as dechak, and we're giving a proof text from a verse that talks about lachatz. How do I know that dachak means lachatz? Because the pasuk says lachatz. So, I mean, if you're not following inside, it's harder to understand my question, but if you just see this one line inside, the question kind of jumps out at you. So the Ritva says, gives us a very unusual explanation, or counterintuitive. What the Haggadah is doing here is not telling you that lachatz means dachak and giving a proof text about lachatz. What it means is dachak is not referring to the pressure that we suffered. Lachatz is the oppression that we suffered. Dachak is a reference to the pressure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself felt, to hasten our salvation. So because we were under this intense lachatz, that stress and that pressure and that oppression, that is what pressed HaKadosh Baruch Hu into action, so to speak. Obviously, we speak about these, the only way we can speak about Hashem in these terms is because Rabbeinu HaRishonim, that our earlier commentaries gave us the language to be able to do so. But that's how the Ritva explains this. So we're not defining the word lachatz as dachak. Rather, we're saying it was lachatz, it was the oppression that we suffered that caused the Kodesh Baruch Hu the pressure to release us from that lachatz and to save us. That's why the proof text is Gamra Isi es lachatz. I have seen, Hashem is telling us, I've seen your lachatz, and therefore I'm going to set you free. I'm going to take you out, as we continue to discuss in the next section. So something to keep in mind when we're feeling a lot of lachatz, a lot of stress, and a lot of pressure, is that sometimes that very stress and pressure is what brings about our Yeshua, what brings about a Kadosh Baruch Hu to turn his attention towards us, to recognize that feeling of pressure, and that will in turn pressure him to act and to bring us to salvation.